falling markets and the connection to consumer confidence. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Here's where we are. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down more than 1,900 points since the close on Friday, a drop over 2 days of 6.6%. At the moment, London Stock Exchange, the index there is down 0.9%. Germany's down 1.7%. Hong Kong fell 1.2% today. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up 0.3% in the case of the S&P future. Now, if you don't sell, this can be losses only on paper, but markets tumbling over concern about what the coronavirus will do to the world economy does have other economic effects. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us live.
So, David, the analytics firm Morning Consult has just released its latest consumer survey, and that was finished on Sunday, so just before U.S. markets started plummeting. And it's the first to show a measurable hit from all the coronavirus news. Confidence fell back to its level at the start of this year of 2020. Consumers are most worried about the damage to the global economy, not so much their own job security and income, at least at this point.
And might this dampen U.S. consumer sentiment, slowing consumption?
Well, you know, it'll take a while to know for sure. We'll need to see surveys and consumer spending data that start to come in following all this market tumult. You know, even though only about half of Americans ballpark own stocks, actually, economist John Lear at Morning Consult told me that consumers do pay attention.
We see that consumer sentiment is highly correlated with S&P 500 and investor concerns over time. It wouldn't be surprising if in the near term, consumers' outlook of the macro economy started to take a hit prior to their views of their own personal financial conditions.
And this survey finds concern about the epidemic is rising most among farmers who are worried about ag exports to China and, not surprising, folks in finance.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you. Meanwhile, the corporate quarterly profits and losses continue to come out, set for today. The hotel group Marriott International, it's a travel industry bellwether amid the coronavirus story. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Hilton has closed at least 150 hotels in China. Intercontinental Hotels Group reported similar numbers. And Marriott, with its more than 400 hotels there, is vulnerable too, says Jan Freitag of hotel data provider STR.
For the public traded companies who have exposure in China, obviously they are going to get probably pretty bad news going forward.
It's not just companies in China feeling the strain. Adam Sachs with Tourism Economics says in the 2003 SARS outbreak, travel from China to the U.S. fell by 30% and took years to recover. A similar decline now could reduce spending here by $10 billion in flights, lodging, retail, and entertainment.
The main difference is that China is such a bigger market now. In 2003, there were only about 200,000 visitors from China to the U.S. Well, last year there were nearly 3 million. So the stakes are much, much higher.
And keep getting higher as cases of the virus accelerate in other parts of the world. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
On a morning when many people with indirect or direct stakes in financial markets are worried about what's happened in the last 2 days, let's get a reminder that yesterday and today matter less than having a long, long view. Some financial innovation and a change in the federal rules mean many investors can worry less about the Dow day-to-day and make one decision. What is the date you think you will retire? There are new data on what are called target date funds. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell is here. Hey there.
How are you doing, David?
Let's start with the definition. A target date fund is an option for some people in their retirement plan. What is a target date fund?
Right. So it's a diversified portfolio, and it invests mostly in riskier but higher potential return equities when retirement is way off in the future. And it automatically reduces your exposure to stocks as you get closer to that retirement date. And typically, a target date fund comes in five-year increments. So if you were 40 years old, you might buy a target date fund for 2055.
It's not guaranteed returns, but what it does is it adjusts as you get closer to that time so that you're less exposed to the, using Shakespearean language, the slings and arrows of the market.
I love Shakespeare and finance. This product, it relieves employees about having to decide how much I'm going to put in stocks, how much I'm going to put in bonds, and when do I change my percentages? I mean, look, David, there's this whole cottage industry of behavioral economists, and they've grown around this one insight that you and I know. Most of us are terrible at investing. We just don't know about the markets. So with a target date fund, the only decision you have to make is make a reasonable guesstimate. Okay, I'm going to retire at 65 and then pick that fund.
The other thing is, if you're not retired yet, you may not have the time on your hands to be obsessing over your retirement plan. But what's another reason for the focus on these target date funds?
Well, this is what I got really interested with an economic study. And there was this legislation in 2006 that said, look, if someone signs up for your 401k plan, but they don't pick an investment option, it's okay for employers to put them into the target date fund. They don't have to worry about some sort of legal liability. So the economists looked at these target date funds, and the bottom line of their results is that the adoption of a low-cost target date fund could enhance retirement security by as much as 50% over a 30-year period.
Couple things there. First of all, these are employers that defaulted you into them if you didn't proactively choose something else.
Correct.
Which is telling in itself. But also you said a low-cost target date fund, did you not?
I did. And there's lots of target date funds, and some of them have higher fees, and some of them, you know, have more equities when you retire. It's a little bit of a controversial area. But when it comes to finance, the innovations that really matter are the ones that make it simple to make a smart choice.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell in St. Paul, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And on that point about retirement planning and William Shakespeare, I got two words for you. King Lear. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. And I bid you adieu from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.